We're in the middle of a vision series, but in this moment, I'm going to call an audible. An audible is a football term. It's when the play has already been either called in by the coach or by one of the other players. And the audible takes place when the quarterback gets up to the line and the quarterback surveys the defense and the quarterback calls an audible by saying something to clue in all of his team that a new play has been called. In other words, the quarterback surveys the land and says, you know what? I don't want to run this play in light of the defense. I'm going to call an audible. If you're a Cowboys fan, Dak Prescott called some audibles last week. And what he would do is he would go up to the line, and when he saw the defense, he would say, kill, kill. That meant kill the first play and run the second play. And it wouldn't be uncommon for somebody like Peyton Manning even to hear him say, Chicago Bozo, Chicago Bozo. You know, just things that don't make any sense to anybody else, but they make sense to the quarterback and they make sense to the team when the audible is called. I'm going to call an audible this morning. I'm supposed to be preaching out of James chapter 2 as a part of a vision series, and that's the scripture that's back there. So, Caleb, we're not actually going to use that passage. But I want to pause for a minute on the brink of just where we are today in the midst of celebrating 5 years together. Sorry, Don, we're going to arrive at the same place here in just a few minutes. But I want to just talk to you for a minute, because one of the things I've been asking is in the midst of this vision series, and we're talking about even today out of James 2, we're supposed to be talking about faithfulness and the idea that without works, faith is dead. In other words, you can't really say I have faith in God if your life actually doesn't display works of faith or works of love in action in the world, you know. And then the writer of James, he kind of pokes fun at people who would say that, and we'll get to that next week. But I really want to just share some other reflections. I really just want to talk to you, and by an audible, I don't mean a sermon that I've prepared, and I mean, I just want to talk to you this morning as your pastor. Some things have happened here recently in the life of other churches that are pretty disheartening. Even some of them kind of from my neck of the woods. In South Carolina, and I'm not going to say names, if you're really interested, you can, with a little bit of Google, you can figure out what I'm talking about. But even in South Carolina, here in recent months, very prominent pastor just going down and causing some fury in the wake of all that. And so a pastor who had been making a huge impact on it, really an entire state, my home state, going down and really trying to find himself at a place of health, trying to find himself moving towards a place of health. And even just this week, statements that have been released by him to say, you know, I got to this place where I was over-medicating myself. I had to get to the point where I had to step back and really seek the help that only the Lord could give me so I could continue to do this. Just this past week, an article that largely probably prompted this audible that came to my phone this morning, another pretty prominent pastor out of Nashville, Tennessee, who just last Sunday resigned his church. And for a different situation, but he's talking, the guy from South Carolina is talking about over-medicating himself and taking some matters into his own hand. This guy using more language of, I'm tired, I'm broken, I'm beaten down. And you can, again, go online and you can watch this pastor share with his congregation to say, I love you. I love the vision of this church. But he's saying, for me personally, I've got to step back and refocus. I've got to step back and get some of the help I need. Part of my own journey, and I'm convinced that some of the things that shaped me even today as a pastor that I am, probably not only a pastor, but hopefully even as a husband and a dad, but part of my own journey was as a teenager, young college student, being a part of a congregation that I had been a part of my entire life, only to have the pastor show up one day in the pulpit and tell us that he was, in fact, leaving not just his church, but also his family. And to see my parents and our little congregation in little small town South Carolina to try to deal with that, very, very difficult, and quite honestly, for me, probably not really starting to make sense of much of that until now that I'm pushing 40. I've been in ministry for a while now and really starting to see some of the ramifications that these situations cause. And all three of those scenarios are very different, but all three of those scenarios are not unique to life in the church and life in pastoral ministry, especially in North America. And so I just, in light of reflection, because I'm a pretty sentimental person, my wife will tell you I'm a pretty sentimental person. I don't think I cry as much as I used to, because like I don't want us just be crying all the time. But it doesn't take much to get me crying. I mean, like, we watched Zootopia the other night, you know, and it's like I'm sitting there crying at Zootopia. I think the girls had fallen asleep by that point, so it was all good. But so I'm a pretty sentimental person. So in important key moments in my life, I get reflective. And to be honest with you, a 5-year anniversary with you is a pretty important time in my life. It's a time that has caused me to reflect. So I have unearthed, even in the last couple of weeks, I've unearthed documents that I haven't unearthed for a while. I want to tell you something, again, as a pastor. There was an interim period before I came to Center Point where a gentleman by the name of Mark James came as a part of New Church Specialties. One of the deals of their program that they did as a part of the whole interim health period for Center Point was for Pastor Mark to leave me a very personal letter. Nothing that you would see, nothing we would read up front, nothing even the church board would see, but really just a letter from Pastor Mark to Dwayne as a way of saying, if I can offer you something, Dwayne, to get you off on the right foot, let me leave you this letter. Let me break down some situations and some circumstances in the life of the church, and perhaps this will help you. I think I've pulled that thing out twice prior to this week, and this week I read it about 3 times. Because it's one thing to come into a situation that's brand new and to read a letter like this and to really not in any way be able to get your head wrapped around all this stuff. It's another thing to read a letter like that 5 years later, but by that point you have walked 5 years with the people that are mentioned in the letter. You've walked 5 years with the circumstances that are in the letter. You've walked 5 years waiting for either issues to arise or waiting for things to die down or asking questions about finances or staffing and things like that. And so I was able to sit this week and read this and truly receive this as an incredible blessing from Pastor Mark as he came in for this 10-11 month interim period to help this congregation get back on the track the Lord had for him. And really kind of sat there just in kind of a humble, vulnerable state of like, man, what a gift that this guy not only participated in, but then this gift he left me with that is truly serving me today. I texted him and said, Pastor Mark, I can't tell you how great this is. And I thought it was great 5 years ago, but today I think it's even more awesome that I have this gift that you left me. Now, your name, a lot of your names are in there. Yeah, he calls you out about some things, mostly good things. Like this person has the potential to be a spiritual leader. This person has the potential to be trusted. This person has the potential to walk beside you no matter what you go. This, you know, and it's just on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Well, about 2.5 years ago, I was kind of in a lull in terms of what I was reading at the time. I love to read. I haven't been reading lately as much as I would like to read. It's hard to find the time right now to read. And about 2.5 years ago, Mia wasn't even born yet. Marley was at home with the girls. Andy was in kindergarten or somewhere. And Avery was here at the preschool. And so there's some time to kind of stop and say, okay, I need to do some reading. So I sent out a text, as I often do. I've got about 6 other pastors on my group text list where if I've got a pastoral question, I'm gonna text these 6 individuals and say, hey, tell me what you think. A perfect example. About 2 weeks ago, I texted all 6 of these people and said, okay, first time in 7 years that Christmas is on a Sunday, right? What are you going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to respond to Christmas Day being Sunday morning, right? And so this starts this group text. Well, about 2.5 years ago, this same group, I simply wrote out, sent out a text. I said, hey, what are you reading right now? What are you reading and what do I need to be reading? In other words, help me, okay? I'm in this reading dry spell. You're out there. You're on the ground just like I am. Maybe you're farther ahead on the road. Tell me what I need to be reading. And I started getting all these responses back. And I got this one particular response from a pastor friend in Tennessee who said, if you've never read Gordon MacDonald's Ordering Your Private World, you should read that. So I had this list. I started praying over this list. And sure enough, I picked up Gordon MacDonald's Ordering Your Private World. If you have a pen in hand or you have your phone in hand, right now you should probably write that name down or type it out in your phone. Gordon MacDonald, Ordering Your Private World. I didn't know or have a clue of how much I needed this book at the time until I actually got into it. And I was getting into it at a time around May when our pastoral staff has traditionally taken just kind of a two-day retreat, but we've stayed here locally. And so typically in May, we'll take the pastoral staff and we'll be together for a day, maybe at Asbury, maybe at some other church, just somewhere we can get away and have some time to chat, a law office downtown, you know. But then the next day, we tend to find ourselves at Lake Eola, where we spend a large part of the morning alone to read, reflect, pray, and then we come together for lunch and spend the rest of the afternoon together. And on that particular day, I was walking around Lake Eola, and I met a gentleman who is not homeless, but he finds himself a lot of times in the midst of the homeless community there at Lake Eola. And I sat down with him, and I started talking to him, and he was telling me how he's been coming to Lake Eola for decades and decades and decades, and he knows everybody. And sure enough, as we sat there, he knew everybody. Everybody, this person works here, and they don't, you know, and this person, don't mess with the geese, because if she sees you, she's going to really get them. You know, he's giving me the lowdown on Lake Eola, and he asked me what I did, and I kind of gave him the 411 on why I was out there and what was going on. And he said, well, hey, he said, if you want to get a place away to pray, he said, you should go across the lake over there to St. George Orthodox Cathedral. I said, okay. So I'd never been over there. So sure enough, I went over there, and some of you have heard this story before, but that's the problem with an audible and a conversation is we share things we've shared before. But I ended up walking across the lake to St. George Orthodox Cathedral, and at the time I was reading Gordon MacDonald's Ordering Your Private World, and we had just started the book, but I got to this point in the book where I read chapter 2, about having an ordered bridge. And in this book, Gordon MacDonald tells the story of having a friend who was a U.S. Naval captain on a U.S. submarine. And he tells the story about how at one point there was a situation where there were some enemy warships up on the surface of the ocean, and they were just underneath. And in an effort to get the submarine out of harm's way, to get the submarine out of trouble's way, at the time, his friend was, in fact, not on duty. It was the co-captain who was on duty. So the co-captain was in charge at this point of maneuvering the submarine so he could get out of any potential harm from enemy ships or other enemy submarines. And so in an effort to do this, Gordon said that his friend told him that it required a lot of jostling, a lot of moving, a lot of quick turns, things that you wouldn't expect the submarine to be doing if everything was okay. So his buddy goes up and he goes to the bridge, the place where the submarine is being controlled. And he goes up and he said the captain popped his head into the control room and he simply had this question, is everything okay? Things don't feel okay. Things feel chaotic. Things don't feel okay. We're making some pretty bold maneuvers, pretty deep. Is everything okay? And as the story goes, the co-captain turned back to him and said, everything is okay. Well, the captain, in turn, said, everything looks okay to me. And the captain turned and went back to his quarters to do whatever he was doing at the time. Gordon MacDonald takes that story and he runs with it in such a way to say, our priority as ministry leaders, our priority as pastors, is to have well-ordered bridges. Our priority as Christian leaders is to live life in such a way that no matter what's going on out there, what's happening up above us, no matter what external circumstance may be bearing down in on us, as Christian leaders, we have a responsibility to have ordered our inner world, our private world, our bridge, in such a way that regardless of what's going on externally, should the Lord come down and look and say, is your inner world intact? We could faithfully respond, everything's okay. You see, sometimes we get focused on the external. Sometimes as Christian leaders, as pastors, we tend to look at the things on the edge, the things on the outskirts. We tend to look at the trouble. We tend to look at the problems. And then quite honestly, one of the things for the last 2.5 years that has helped hold me together as not only a pastor, but also as a person, as a father, as a husband, is this attempt to know that my inner world, my private world, my private life, my spiritual bridge is intact. I can tell you I've needed it, too. 7 months ago, I lost my father. I needed an intact, well-ordered bridge at that point. 2.5 years ago, when I sat in St. George Orthodox Cathedral, I didn't know I was going to be losing my dad in February. But I sat in St. George Orthodox Cathedral and I was reading this book. And as I read the words that Gordon wrote, I couldn't help but write wow out beside it. And I told you I called an audible, so I didn't come with the book today prepared to read you this. But essentially, Gordon says, our priority, the number one focus, the ultimate concern that we have as Christian leaders is that our relationship with the Lord is in such a healthy manner that regardless of what goes on around us, regardless of what happens in the world, our response grows from a well-ordered private life, a well-ordered inner world. On that day, I was sitting back in this part of the St. George sanctuary. And I was reading back there, and I was praying back there, and I was weeping back there. And I got up, and I started to walk around this cathedral, and I wandered up to the front of the cathedral. And I stood there almost to ask the question, like, well, what would it be like to preach in a place like this? Beautiful, big ceilings, art everywhere. If you've seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding, like kind of that kind of stuff, right? Well, I stood there just looking around this very beautiful sanctuary, and that's when I noticed on the back of their sanctuary wall, they had a verse, just one verse. It came out of Mark 8. Mark 8:35, it says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. And then the verse they had on the wall was verse 36. For what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? I can tell you, I stood there in that moment, and you know, this week I've been reflecting on this. If I can't be sure that the Lord called us to Center Point, I don't know that I could ever be sure about anything that the Lord has said to me. Like the peace that Marley and I felt when Dr. Dennis came out and said, hey, they want to make a call to you, this peace that we felt, if that peace wasn't real, I don't know that I could ever know what a real peace of the Lord is in my life ever again. I don't know how I could distinguish between those. And I stood there 2.5 years ago, and I read on the back of their worship center wall, it said, for what good will it be for a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? And something occurred to me in that moment that I felt like was from the Lord. But as I stood there reading that, I realized that on a Sunday morning, the only person who would be seeing that is the pastor. See, the congregation's backs are to that wall. And so I don't know if it was some grand design of a former minister there at that church, or maybe it was the congregation and the board said, "Hey, buddy, we're going to put a verse up here for you," you know. But I stood there in that moment, and in light of what I was experiencing in my own life, and in light of not knowing what was to come in my own life, but believing everything I was reading in Gordon MacDonald, that my number one priority is to have a well-ordered bridge, a well-ordered private world where the Lord truly sits on the throne. And then to stand up there and to read that verse, what good will it be for you if you do anything great of achievement? If you grow center point to any size, or you advance to any level, or you make any amount of money, or you amass any amount of land, or you receive popularity, or what good, Dwayne, would it be if you did all of that, but you lost your soul? I stood there in that moment and I prayed this simple prayer: Lord, help me to live my life in such a way that my inner world, my private life, my bridge is in order. In other words, Lord, help me in my relationship with you to stay pure and focused. Help me, Lord, so that anything that I do by way of ministry, by way of outreach, by way of leadership or pastoring or being a husband or being a father or being a son or being a neighbor or a citizen or an uncle or a brother or a friend, help all of those realities grow out of the fact that I am where you are calling me to be in my own private world, in my own private life. Because anything else would be a fake. Anything else would be a fraud. It wouldn't be real. And so today, as we think about our 5-year anniversary, I just want to proclaim to you, that's where I am. That's who I want to be. I want to be able to serve you. I want our family to be able to serve you, Center Point, in such a way that our service to you grows out of well-ordered private worlds. But the reverse of that is also true too. Your own service to your church and to your community and to your family also requires a well-ordered, private, inner world. And so really the challenge for us, or the call for us as a pastor and a people, is that we are living life in such a way that we are spurring one another on to holiness in the Lord, to be who He's called us to be, knowing, understanding that no matter what we pull off as a church, how fun, how exciting, how cool, how cutting edge, how upfront, how visual, how public, no matter what we could pull off as a church, if it doesn't grow out of a well-ordered inner world, a private life that is truly seeing the Lord on the throne, what good is it? What's the point? Well, here's a challenge for us, and kind of one of the reasons I called an audible today. This morning we were scrambling to get out the door, right? Big day for us, 5-year anniversary at Center Point. Let's dress in the same colors and let's do this thing, yeah? I can tell you right now, Marley can get me later about this one. Lord, help us have our private worlds organized, because right now our outer world ain't organized. I'm pretty sure, as much as we love every one of you, if you came up to our door today and knocked, we'd be doing the whole like, "Hey, what are you doing in this side of town?" "Oh, good. Okay, see you later." You know, our house is a mess, man, like right now. Well, this morning we're scrambling to get out. All the girls were dressed except for Mia. Okay, Mia's our 1.5-year-old. Everybody's dressed except Mia, and I gotta tell you, Mia has been the easiest child we've ever had. I mean, Mia could get us in trouble because every now and then you have that fleeting thought of like, what if we had another one like her? Like, that would be kind of cool, right? Then you slap yourself in the face, and then you, okay. But I mean, just the girl's a little bundle of joy most of the time, and she's just happy. She brings smiles to everyone. Well, I kid you not, this morning, oh man. I didn't say she was the cutest baby in the church. I just said she. I said, this morning, we're scrambling to get out, you know, and I've got Mia's dress in hand, no wrinkles, okay, good to go. And Mia was standing there pushing her shopping cart in our living room. I said to Mia, had dress in hand, I said, Mia, come here, let's get your dress on. This is the first time this child has ever done this to me. Maybe she's done it to Marley, and I don't know about it, but I kid you not, Mia looked back at me, dropped the shopping cart, and turned and ran away. And I thought in my mind, I said, what is this child doing? Well, sure enough, I followed her, and I went to our front room, our front living room. We have a dining-type table in there with some chairs. And sure enough, I walked around the corner, and Mia was hiding under the table behind the chair. I said, Mia, what are you doing? And she kind of peeked around, and then she hid again, peeked around and hid again. It's the first time she's done that to me. Now, I'm not kidding you when I say the thought that ran through my head, thinking about Gordon McDonald, thinking about my own life, my own ministry, my own world, my inner world. She's 1.5 years old. And already, her inclination to a voice of authority in her life saying, come here, we need to do this, is to run and hide. And church, if that's her inclination at 1.5, how strong is that urge in us when we're 25 or 45 or 55 or 75? To say to the voices that are over us, very particularly the Lord in our life, come here, I've got this thing for you. Come here, I want you to order your private world. Come here, I want you to focus on what really matters. Come here, spend your life for the kingdom. I've got a call in my life to respond to the Lord. And part of that response to the Lord at this season in my life is to be the most faithful pastor I can be for you. And you've got a call in your life. And part of the call in your life right now, in this season of your life, is to be the most faithful, going, sent body of Christ that you can be in the world in which you live. And 5 years ago on this stage, we exchanged some words with each other about what that relationship should look like. And today we're going to revisit some of those just so we understand where we stand. And we understand the call that God has placed on us to be the center point that He's called us to be. Thanks for the audible, Don. Will you come? Church board.
I've got the right, I do have the right one. So, Pastor, 5 years is a pretty big deal to us, too. And as your leadership team that's going to come on up here by me, not hide off in the shadows, we wanted to spend some time with you this morning in renewal of that time of covenant. And it is an important thing for us to remember. You know, throughout Scripture, we are reminded that we need to remember, as you have told us from this very platform. And the reason that we are reminded to remember is that it is so that we keep first things first, so that we keep our priorities in order. It was funny this morning, you know, Facebook has now reminded us of things that happened before, and we get reminders on our telephone of events that we posted 5 years ago. And this morning, my wife's Facebook popped up with a reminder, and she said, we are heading to church to praise our God and to celebrate the arrival of our new pastor, Dwayne, and his family. And we are so excited. And so when we woke up this morning and saw that, we thought, oh, we better do something. Nah. We were going to call an audible. No. We planned this. what I've asked is for our board members to share with you and share with all of us a reminder of each piece of the covenant that we had entered into. Now, covenant isn't a word that most of us use in our everyday vocabulary. It's not a part of what we talk about in our jobs or other places. I actually, in my job, get to talk about covenant. That's an important part of contracts and agreements and things. But I recognize and appreciate that covenant in Scripture is something a little more. It's something a lot more, and it's different. So I just encourage us all, listen carefully as we go through each piece of the covenant that we went through 5 years ago. And at the end, there'll be a response that we're all going to share in as a part of the covenant, Pastor.
Accept this Bible and be among us, as John Wesley said, a man of one book. Be in this place, one who proclaims the word. Dwayne, through your leadership, you reminded us the importance of daily time in the Word and its impact on our own spiritual health. But most importantly, through your vision for this body, you have encouraged all of us to be stewards of God's message in our home of Orlando. Because of your example, we are all striving to move more like Christ in all of life.
Thanks. Pastor, 5 years ago, we gave you water, baptismal water. And we spoke these words in a covenant. We said, be among us an evangelist who leads all to the understanding and knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and to the faith, affirmation of faith as pronounced by the baptismal water. I can't think of anybody who's fulfilled that covenant more completely or utterly, is the word that came to my mind. On behalf of the church, I just want to say thank you. We love you.
Thank you.
Pastor, 5 years ago, we asked you to embrace a copy of the Lord's Prayer and model a life of prayer before us. It's very evident you have done that. You've continued to encourage us to renew our commitment to prayer and have consistently led by example. Thank you for praying for us as individuals and as a corporate body of worship.
Pastor, 5 years ago, we gave you a directory containing a list of all our families. We are your people. We asked you to pray for us. We called you to be our priest and a pastor. And you have made us laugh. You have laughed with us. And I have seen you cry over us. And we just want to thank you for being our shepherd.
Pastor, you received tithing envelopes 5 years ago to remind us often that we are to be faithful stewards of all God has given us. And you certainly have demonstrated that. And we thank you for your leadership, Pastor, especially to help us to be faithful stewards, and also for us to support the needs of our church, especially in support of growing our church so that we can reach out to our community so we can have others know him as we do. Pastor, we just want to say we thank you for setting an example for all of us because of the giving of your time, giving of your talent, and giving of your treasure. And today, I could go into which one might be the most important, but I probably want, since they're all T's, but, of course, the last one is our treasure. Thank you, Pastor.
Pastor Dwayne, 5 years ago we gave you a manual of the Church of the Nazarene and the duty of teaching and discipling this people, reminding us that we are not only Christians, but Nazarene Christians. We appreciate your teaching and discipling your pastoral staff, administrative staff, the men of Central Care Mission, and your church family. Thank you. We are truly blessed.
Thanks, Al.
Pastor. Pastor Dwayne Adams, 5 years ago you were given, and we gave you this oil, and to be a healer and reconciler among us and a model of spiritual leadership. In my time here, my wife and I has spoken to about this quite often, that it's clearly, crystal clear evident that you take time to study your subjects when you're up here on this stage. It's not rambling, it's not babbling. It's clearly evident to us that you really take seriously your leadership here and everything that you study. Thank you and God bless you.
Thanks, James.
5 years ago, let's see if I can remember, we gave you a cup and bread, and with it the authority to administer in Christ's stead the sacrament of Holy Communion to us. And this is by far my favorite, because I love communion and the picture that it is for us of our covenant relationship with him and the reminder that he's coming back. And there's a part of me that can't believe it's already been 5 years, and a part of me that can't believe it's only been 5 years, because it's been a lot of life in that 5 years. Yeah. And I'm so thankful that you've allowed us to walk with you and that you've walked with us and keep bringing us to that table. That's that common bond for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pastor, 5 years ago we gave you a candle whose flame represented the presence of the Lord. Thank you for leading us into the presence of the Lord as we have gathered to worship Almighty God.
Thanks, JT.
So, Pastor, the relationship of pastor and people is a sacred covenant, and it's not unlike the covenant of marriage. Marriage is a great gift that may become a true means of God's grace in our lives. It's also hard work. And in the church, as in marriage, we must learn to adjust to one another, to forgive one another, and to lay our lives down in preference for one another. It's no small thing that, as the great apostle describes the relationships of husbands and wives, that parents and children, slaves and masters, he begins by saying, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It is out of that spirit of mutual submission and love that we now come intentionally to renew this covenant that we began together 5 years ago. If you could place up on the screen for us, please. This idea of covenant relationship requires effort on both of our parts. It requires commitment on both of our parts. And so let's read together as a congregation a renewal of that covenant relationship with our pastor. Before God, we renew this covenant with you, Pastor, as our leader and shepherd. Our lives have become intertwined, and we celebrate our relationship as pastor and people. We commit to continue to support you, to pray for you, and to love you and your wonderful family. We look forward to becoming more like Christ in all of life under your leadership. Pastor, if you'd allow us as your board, we want to gather around you. Just close out this time of renewal and prayer as we pray for you. Father God, we are so grateful as we celebrate today this awesome time of renewal, of relationship, of commitment, of just incredible time together. We thank you, God, for Pastor Dwayne, for Marley, for their family. We thank you that you provide inspiration in his own home for message for us that makes him real, that makes him relatable, that helps us to take practical stuff around it and apply as we seek to follow you more closely and to be more like you. God, we lift him up to you right now, and we thank you for his leadership. We praise you for the call that you have placed in his life, for his faithfulness to that call, and for the faithfulness that he has to this community. God, as a community of believers, as a church, we just pray that you would enable us to continue to support our pastor, to love on him, to love on his family, to continue, God, to lift him up in prayer, to strengthen him, to be those around him that encourage him and don't tear things down, but instead every day, Father, to lift him up to you, to give him the strength, to give him the energy, to give him the wisdom, to give him the insight, and to renew in him on a daily basis the energy and the excitement and the love of his call in his life for our benefit and his. So God, today we celebrate 5 years, and we look forward to many more of these 5-year celebrations down the road. Thank you, God, for today, for life, for breath, and for this special time of renewal of covenant. We love you. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Now, lest you be distracted or disappointed, we have another time in the service. We're going to honor Pastor and his family. But we wanted to engage in this special time of renewal of commitment as he finishes out his message for us. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. I take very seriously the covenant that was made 5 years ago, and I don't carry the whole big sheet from that day around with me, but I carry an abbreviated version of that. And I actually told Don this week, when I was in college and even through seminary, one of the biggest fears I had about going into ministry was coming into my office and sitting down and looking at this big shelf of books and go, what am I supposed to do? Like, why am I here? I don't know that I've had that exact conversation over the last 5 years, but often I have gone back to that list that they just referenced there about what you've called me to do, what you've asked me to do, proclaim the word, to baptize, to model a life of prayer, and to challenge you to renew your commitment to prayer, to pray for you, to be a priest for you, to be a pastor for you, to remind you to be faithful stewards. You see, if you ever get mad at me for telling you you need to be a faithful financial steward, I'm just doing what you asked me to do. Amen? Amen. Remind us what it means to be Nazarene, what it means to be Wesleyan, to heal and to reconcile, to administer communion, and to lead us, JT, in the presence of the Lord. So thank y'all very much. And I'll reference a sermon for just about 4 Sundays ago. I believe I will only be able to be faithful in that as you support through prayer and encouragement along the way. So I love you. My family loves you. Super excited to be at Center Point. I know we just prayed, but we're going to do it again, all right? Lord, I'm thank you for this day. God, and for what it means for us as a church. God, we know that the call that you've placed on Center Point is larger than me or the Adams family or a church board or God, anybody that's sitting in this room today. It's the call that you have as the head of this place. And so, Lord, keep us tuned in on you. God, keep our ears attentive to your voice. Keep our hearts bent towards your heart, God, for people. And God, truly, for anything good that becomes of us today or any of the days ahead, we will give you the thanks and the praise that you alone deserve. We love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.